when he tries to lure us, he's not going to come to us like a dragon, because obviously you're not going to go with a dragon, but you'll go with that fine man over there.
Yes, you will.
Or, you know, you'll go with that fine lady or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's what my thought, just even more in the more recent years, has been of Satan. Like, wait, that's not him with a pitchfork, because mm-hmm. no one would listen to him. No one would go with him. But if he came to me in what I liked,
yeah.
wrapped in, you know, clothed in what I like, mm-hmm. then it's like, oh, that's not the devil. That can't be devil.
That can't be.
You know, I'm not looking like that, you know.
I'm Alice Newsom, and you're listening to the Repurpose and Publish podcast. I've heard it said that graveyard is the most valuable piece of real estate on the planet, because it's filled with unrealized dreams, ideas, and visions. This podcast is about denying the grave consumption of the great content locked up in my computer and taking the bold step to share my thoughts and creativity with you. And now, here's more repurposed content from my computer.
Thanks for listening to the show. Today, again, we have Marlena.
Hey, guys.
How you doing today?
Great, thanks.
Good, good. All right, let's get started breaking it down. We're talking about God being all-powerful. Not most powerful, but all-powerful. More powerful than any other God. And that's God spelled with a little g. But the God of heaven, the big G, is more powerful than any other creature ever created. To be declared number one in anything, there has to be a competition. And the winner must defeat or eliminate all challengers to hold the title of champion. Marlena, do you agree with that?
I do. Fully agree.
You fully agree. Now, you've had a couple of competitions this year.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about those?
Sure. I compete in the NPC, which is National Physique Committee. It is a fitness committee. So I do a lot of fitness competitions, and I compete in the bikini division. So there are, the last competition I did, there were hundreds of athletes there, all age ranges and all shapes and sizes. And to, like Alice said, to come out on top, you had to eliminate basically all of your competition. So you had to have that extra, whatever it is the judges were looking for, in order to come out on top. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. So, yeah. How did you place?
I did okay. I placed first. You know.
So you did okay. You placed first. So you were the winner.
Yes.
Okay, so you were the champion.
You
eliminated your competition.
I defeated them.
You defeated your competition, okay? Okay, so now, did you size up your competition at all?
Actually, I did. When we were backstage, because you can see everyone that you're competing against, because you're in different classes. So while back there, I was just kind of looking at them like, okay, my abs are better than hers. You know, my legs look a little bit better than hers, but my arms, I don't know if I'm going to get hurt, you know. So you do kind of compare yourself to the other athletes, but you just have to go out there and give it all you got. And
all right.
Hope for the best.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So tell me, what did it feel like when you heard your name being called as winner of first place?
Wow. I was shocked. I mean, I knew, like, the way this competition is set up, when you're at prejudging, the top five names they call out, you know you're going to place if you're one of the top five. And I was in the top five, so I knew I would place. I just wasn't sure where my placing would be. So when they called all the other girls from, you know, fifth place up into second, I was still a little confused, because I was like, well, are they going to call someone who wasn't? You know, I still kind of knocked myself out, because I was like, are they going to call someone who wasn't in the first five callouts, or is it me? And when they call my name, I was just like floored. My facial expression didn't show my feeling, but I was completely shocked. I mean, and gratified because it was so much hard work that I had to put in, late nights, early mornings, food restrictions. I mean, the whole nine. But I mean, it was an awesome feeling.
That's great. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's an awesome feeling to be number one. Now, what do you need to do to maintain that title? Is it something you have to compete for next year, or is it just one time?
No, I'll always have that title for that particular show. But if I want to continue, you know, if I want to become a professional, then I'll need to continue to train, and I'll have to go to a pro qualifier. It's what it's called. And you go and you compete against all these athletes that want to become pro. And they only give out 60 pro cards. So you can have hundreds of athletes, but only 60 people will be considered professional bodybuilders at the end of the competition. So that's my next goal. So you have to train and put a lot of work in and, again, try to come out on top.
Okay. All right. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Now, some titles, we're looking at titles. Mm-hmm. Some titles are kept for a year, like mm-hmm. Miss America and like mm-hmm. yours. Mm-hmm. 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 Now, then there are other titles that must be defended. So once crowned best in your category, you must constantly defend your title because there's always a challenger. So mm-hmm. there's always somebody out there who wants to take your place. So they can be recognized as number one. Mm-hmm. That's right?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Now look, things on earth are patterned after things in heaven. In history, there have been epic wars, such as the American Civil War. That was the battle that pitted the North against the South, which led to the abolishment of slavery. And then there was the American Revolution, when American colonies formally declared their independence from Great Britain on July 4th. 1776. And then there's the most epic war of all times. And we're all a part of it. Mm. The moment you're born, you're in it. Mm. It's the war of good versus evil. Now, God, we just said, is all powerful. Omnipotent, all powerful God. Now, for God to hold that title, he had to be challenged. Mm-hmm. You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Did you know there was a war in heaven?
Yeah, I read it or heard Bible stories about Satan or Lucifer wanting to be like God or be more like him. So he kind of, I guess, I don't know the story fully, but, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I believe that's the story you're referring
to. That's it. Okay. So this story takes place in Isaiah. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14 tells of Lucifer's challenge. And the Bible states in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now to God, that was a challenge. So let's take a little trip. Imagine God is sitting on his massive throne as the ruler of the universe. There are angels surrounding the throne. They're worshiping him. They're bowing to him. And other angels are singing praises to him. And Lucifer was the head angel in charge of singing praises to God. Lucifer was the angel. He was the master. He was the maestro. He had a lot of angels that catered to him as well. They loved the talent that Lucifer possessed. They loved his musical skills and his great vocal ability. And when he praised God, my goodness, you could just feel the anointing everywhere. Lots of angels praise Lucifer for being beautiful and talented and wise. And Lucifer loved all that attention that he received from the other angels. But it paled in comparison to the attention God received. So although Lucifer sang praises to God, in his heart, he wanted to replace God. Ezekiel 28:17 said his heart was filled with pride because of his beauty. Lucifer was called a shining star and son of the morning. He was beautiful and he was in an elevated position, and he let his title go to his head. His wisdom was corrupted by his love of splendor, being in the spotlight, fame, popularity, and the desire for more of everything that shined. Lucifer said in his heart, I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. I'm going high above the clouds, and I'm going to be like the Most High. And that was a challenge to God. Revelations 12:7 said, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. So now Satan is called a dragon. He's called Satan. He's called Lucifer. And now he's called a dragon, all the same angel. So Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So Satan wasn't just going down. He had to fight, and he prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So here we have a lot of names for Satan. You see that he was called a dragon, he was called the devil, he was called a serpent, and he did not prevail. He was cast out of heaven. What do you think of Satan? When you think of Satan, what do you think of? What do you imagine him to look like? Or what do you see in his character?
Well, I imagine him to look like pretty much what you see everywhere Satan looking like, you know, red, the horns, you know, this long tail, a pitchfork, the whole nine. Well, that was what I imagined just coming up. But as I got a little older, I imagined him as something beautiful, not something that you'll see and like, oh my God, that's Satan, get away. But something that's enticing, something very beautiful, something pleasing to you as a person, because he was beautiful in heaven. I mean, so of course he's going to be beautiful on earth to us. He's not going to come to us, even though he was considered or called a dragon. When he tries to lure us, he's not going to come to us like a dragon, because obviously you're not going to go with a dragon, but you'll go with that fine man over there.
Yes, you will.
Or, you know, you'll go with that fine lady or whatever. So that's what my thought, just even more in the more recent years, has been of Satan. Like, wait, that's not him with a pitchfork, because no one would listen to him. No one would go with him. But if he came to me in what I liked, wrapped in, you know, clothed in what I like, then it's like, oh, that's not the devil. That can't be devil.
That can't be.
You know, I'm not looking like that, you know. So
I think you're absolutely right. I like you said, he wouldn't come to you as a demon and want you to embrace him.
Exactly.
No, you embrace something that you like, something that entices you, just like you said, something that tempts you. Say, so, ooh, yeah. Yep. Something you love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Satan, the deceiver. The trickster.
Yeah, and that's his
character. Liar. Yeah. The beautiful liar. And he deceives the whole world. Now, when there was a war in heaven, who fought against Satan?
Michael. And other angels.
I used to think God fought Satan. I used to think when Satan challenged God, it was in my head for a long time that Satan and God are arch enemies. Mm-hmm. They're rivals. But when the war came down to being fought in heaven, God did no fighting. Mm. It was angel against angel. Michael the archangel against Satan, the angel of the morning. It was Michael and his angels fighting against Satan and his angels. God was just present. God knew what was going to happen, but he's all powerful. God does not lower himself to fight against a being he created. We look at Satan and we see how powerful he is. And he has power here because he took that power from Adam. And he's called the prince of the power of the air, another title for Satan. He has power, but he has no power compared to God. Our God is omnipotent. Mm-hmm. And when Satan is compared to our God, Satan is impotent. Satan has no power. He is rendered impotent. He is cast down from heaven and thrown onto the earth. He's in the earth's atmosphere, influencing our thoughts. Now, we look at Satan and we're afraid of him. Now, he is a formidable foe. Don't underestimate him because he can deceive you. He can trick you. He can lie to you. And all of it can seem true. But Satan is powerless compared to God. And it's proven right here in the scripture because God didn't even fight Satan. We think God's going to fight Satan. God's not going to fight Satan. The angel Michael fought Satan. And then Satan and his angels, a third of heaven, were thrown to the earth. So that's why we have so much trouble here on earth. Because Satan is thrown out. Now, what happens when you get thrown out of a place? The place where you love to be, a place where everybody gave you accolades and shouted your name and were glad to see you coming. What happens when you've been stripped of your title and thrown out? How do you feel? How do you imagine you would feel if that happened to you?
Well, I would want to find somewhere else where I can. First of all, I want to find another home and find somewhere else where I can be praised and loved again.
I think, first of all, I'm going to be mad. Oh. I think I'm going to be angry. I think I'm going to be hot and boiling and I'm going to want to attack something. I think I am going to be vengeful and I'm going to look for something to attack that you love, which is what Satan did. He looked for something that God loved and he looked for it to attack it and take what he could from it. So Satan was cast out of heaven to earth. He went right past all those planets. Boom. Satan and his angels. Now demons, fallen angels, right here on the earth. And there's man, God's treasured creation, and Satan. And so I imagine in the garden that Satan was hanging around for a long time trying to get Adam and Eve to listen to him. I imagine it took a long time for him to eventually get Eve's ear. The scripture doesn't tell us how long it took, but I imagine it was quite a while. Because Adam and Eve in the garden and in paradise and just loving life, walking and talking with God. And then, you know, after a while, they're human. They start to get bored. They start to drift. Your mind start to go here and there. And then here's somebody enticing you with something that you really want. Something that you desire. And he's a liar. A good liar. The father of lies. So his lies are very convincing. So Eve was deceived by the snake, by the serpent. And here we are, a fallen nation, a fallen generation because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve were just human. And like we said before, God is omniscient. So before God even created the earth, before he created heaven and earth, God already knew Adam and Eve were going to succumb to Satan's lies. He already knew it, and he decided to create us anyway. So God is omnipotent. He's our omnipotent God, the God of heaven. God is creator. There is no competitor. There is no one that can compete against him on his level. Because you can't just go and compete against the heavyweight champ of the world. There are levels. You have to go from amateur to pro. And then you have to have a great record in pro just to be even considered to be a competitor to the heavyweight champ of the world. But in God's case, there is no competitor. There is no God because they're all man-made or created. We serve the only God that has no end and no beginning, but the creator of everything. Everything originated from him. The omnipotent God has no equal, so there is no competitor on his level who could possibly take his throne. God does not lower himself to engage in fighting with beings he created. Instead, God has created a place for Satan and his fallen angels. That place is called hell, and at the designated time, Satan's sentence will be served. Hell was not created for man. It was created for Satan and his followers.
Hello, I'm Galene, your host from Let's Meet the Author. I want to go ahead and boast about one of my authors who premiered in the first season, Alice Newsom. I have read her book over and over, and I cannot put it down. I have recommended to my sisters, I recommend to my mom, to my aunties, and even the male members in my family. Finally, there's a book that talks about the women of the Bible, all right? And also, it gives juicy details about the lives of Jesus' ancestors. The book is called The Sordid Lives of Jesus' Ancestors. Every family has skeletons in their closet. Jesus' family does too. You gotta get your own copy. Go to alicenewsom.com and go ahead and read it and find out all the secrets of Jesus' ancestors. alicenewsom.com. Get your copy today. You will not regret it.
I've been busy. I've recorded an audiobook too. Now, the audiobook is a convenient way to hear the stories of the women in Jesus's family tree as you go about your day. I'm the narrator, and it comes with a special audiobook companion document. Get your audiobook now. If you are anything like I am, then you have a stored collection of stories and lessons. I encourage you to get that content out of your mind, out of your device, out of your journal, and share it with the world. Enrich someone's life because they are waiting for you. That's a wrap. Another podcast is in the books. It's published, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to share it and subscribe to get each episode as it becomes available. And please, leave a review. Visit my website, alicenewsom.com. Remember to repurpose and publish. Thanks for listening.